How do you do? Are homosexuals born that way? Well, that's a controversial question, some would say. The man in this story seemed to fit the stereotype. He hungered for attention and affection from male family members from early childhood. Even though he followed a homosexual lifestyle for many years, he realized he had made the wrong choice when his heart and mind and life were unshackled. From the crossroads of America and the heart of God, this is Unshackled. True life stories that bring the good news, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. It's amazing how many different ways a life can go wrong, how a baby with so much promise can end up an adult with no hope, living on the streets. They come to Pacific Garden Mission, these men and women, homeless because their lives have gone wrong. They need food, clean clothing, and a place to sleep, all of which the mission provides without charge. They may even need dental and medical care, also free at the mission clinic. But more than anything, street people need their lives to go right for a change. So the old lighthouse offers counseling and Bible study to help them face what they were and learn what they can become with God's help. It all begins with new life, as the man in this story discovered. Now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2520 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
We have the results of your test, Ray. You have Hodgkin's disease.
Hodgkin's disease?
Cancer of the lymph glands.
I'm not going to die.
Well, we have a very good success rate in treating someone as young as you are. And we caught it early.
What happens next?
Well, we'll begin chemotherapy right away. I have to warn you, there are lots of side effects, including sterility. But if a girl loves you, she'll marry you whether you can produce children or not.
What other side effects?
Nausea. And you'll probably lose your hair.
Lose my hair? Anything but that.
Not anything, Ray. Not anything.
Last week, we heard how the man in our story was expected to be a girl at birth and felt rejected by his father and his brother. Seeking male affection, he was drawn into homosexuality from childhood and then into an affair with a married man. Because of the sensitive nature of this story, parents should use discretion in allowing small children to listen. Names have been changed, but this is the true story of a man we call Ray LaRude, right now on Unshackled.
It may seem trivial that I was so concerned about losing my hair when the alternative was death, but I had grown up with ridicule because of my appearance, having been overweight, being called gay, being mocked. Without my golden locks, how would I ever gain the love I craved? 4 months into the treatment, I still had my hair, but the doctor issued new medicine with new warnings. I went immediately to the office where my mother worked.
Ray, what's wrong?
I want to quit taking treatments.
Why?
It isn't worth it, Mother. I'm tired of wasting all my today's trying to buy tomorrows that may never come.
Oh, you've come this far, Ray. Don't give up now.
Sick of being sick. You don't know what it's like being nauseous all the time.
Well, you're right. I don't know, but I do know that you've endured chemotherapy for this long. Why give up now?
Because the doctor's going to switch treatments to something called ABDV. He said I'll lose all my hair.
Oh, Ray, your hair is nothing compared to your life.
Oh, look at my arms. The veins are so burned by drugs it won't even bleed anymore.
I know. I know. Somehow you've got to hang on. Come on. Let me pray for you.
She persuaded me to continue, and I didn't lose my hair, just my appetite. Between chemo treatments, I frequently went to an open society bar where anything goes. And there, I met a man who had also struggled with cancer.
You're lucky, Ray. Most guys lose their hair in chemotherapy. I lost most of mine.
I was ready to quit chemo if that happened.
Well, you'd rather die than be bald?
There are worse things than death.
Well, true enough. Did anyone try to blame your cancer and your lifestyle?
My father made a passing remark to that effect.
Typical.
For him, it was. He's always putting me down.
Listen, let's get together sometime. I could come to your place.
Well, I still live at home, unfortunately. But come on over. I'll tell them that we're in a cancer support group. My parents let him stay with me for the weekend because they didn't know he was a homosexual. And they thought he could help me. In a way, he did. I'm the one who turned the discussion to religion. Do you believe in God, Ronnie?
Yeah, but I don't think he believes in me.
That's not what I learned in school. They taught us that God is love.
It doesn't matter anymore. Everything I hear condemns us. But there's no way I can change that now.
I was saved when I was 13, so I'm going to heaven.
Well, how do you figure that?
The Bible says so. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Look, I don't care what you believe or what you've been taught. People like us can't go to heaven. Read Romans chapter 1. Someone showed it to me.
What do you mean? God can't go back on his word. We've got him over the barrel.
What?
Yeah. Romans 10, 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever.
All I know is people like us can't go to heaven. Sodom and Gomorrah is God's example of what happens to us.
I didn't believe him, but his words haunted me. Surely God wouldn't reject me. I was counting on the verses I had memorized in church and chose my own interpretation of salvation. After 2 years of treatment, the doctor pronounced me cured and my nightlife intensified. One night I came in at 3 a.m. and bumped into Mom in the hall.
Are you all right?
Oh, yeah, sure, Ma. You weren't waiting up for me, were you?
No, son. Oh. I just got up for a drink of water. I don't wait up for you anymore.
Oh, that's good.
I used to lose sleep worrying about you, and it was tearing me apart. But we've done everything we can for you, and I've asked God to take care of you. So you're in his hands now, and he gives me sweet rest.
Her words pierced me, demonstrating a faith I had never seen before. I didn't have that kind of faith. I was still insecure, hungry for approval and love, especially from men, since my own father always seemed remote and unloving. In the fall of 1982, when I was 20, I got a job with an airline. I couldn't wait to tell Robert, the married man with whom I'd been having an affair for several years.
That's great, Ray. We can live together now.
I'll be so glad to get out of my parents' house.
It's perfect timing. My wife and I'll be separated in 2 weeks, so we can start looking for an apartment.
My parents are going on vacation in 2 weeks. I'll move out then while they're gone.
Hard to believe it's finally coming together after all this time.
4 years.
After the divorce, I'll buy my wife's share of the house and you and I can live there.
I can just hear my parents when they find out.
We carried out our plan, moving into an apartment while Mom and Dad were on vacation. One night, I went back home just to vent my frustration.
Did you forget something?
Well, you told a friend of mine that I left a mess behind, so I came to see what you meant. I took all my belongings. What mess are you talking about?
It's nothing, Ray. Don't worry about it. Are you all settled in?
Yes, I'm living with my lover now.
Oh, Ray, how could you do that?
Homosexuality is a sin, Ray. Open rebellion to God.
I don't buy that.
You've tarnished the family name.
I've tarnished it. Let me tell you something. My cousin, that you think is so great, is the one who started me on this road.
No.
Yes. When I was 5 years old, he molested me and threatened me so I couldn't tell you. I could name a lot of men you respect that are no different than me. Hypocrites, all of them.
You didn't have to go along with them.
Where were you all that time, huh? You never cared about me. All you ever said was, don't bother me.
I worked hard. I had a family to support.
Other men support their families and still love their sons. You never loved me. All I ever heard from you was criticism. You never even once signed my birthday cards.
Your father could have been a better father. I saw what was happening to you over the years, but I didn't know what to do.
What do you mean you saw it happening? Don't sit there and be hard on Dad when you never did anything about it. You're as much to blame as he is. You could have stopped it when I was young if you'd tried. Now it's too late.
That's enough. You'll always be my son, Ray. But because of your sin, I can't have fellowship with you anymore.
We've never had any fellowship anyway, Dad. So it's no great loss. At least Robert loves me. I remember hearing a pastor once say, you may get what you want, but you may not want what you get. And he was right. Robert was a kind and likable person until he got drunk. Then he became jealous and explosive. Our affair had destroyed his marriage, and we were together at last, but we weren't happy. We fought a lot.
Had a good time, did you? Throwing yourself at all those women?
I like to dance with women.
I ought to smash your face in. Hey. I think I will.
Let me go, please.
Ray. You had enough. You had enough.
I couldn't breathe.
That was a whole idea.
You could have killed me,
Lou. You just remember that. Next time you may not be so lucky. Don't you ever grab my clothes or try to hit me again. I became more promiscuous, staying away for entire weekends. Robert was consumed with jealousy, but agreed to my affairs just to hold our relationship together. Inside, I was miserable as the void grew bigger. I was consumed with a need for love that I didn't find with him or anyone. I was at the point of no return.
As Ray struggled with his conflicts, help was on the way. And we'll hear about that in just a moment. Has anyone ever told you to get a life? Well, the best way to do that is to take our Gospel of John Bible study course. And then fasten your seatbelt for a trip that leaves everything else in the dust. There's no charge for this 6-lesson course, no books to buy, no deadlines to meet. Just questions that cut through the world's plastic philosophy and answers that you've always wanted. Not answers from us, but ones that come straight from God as found in the Gospel of John. If you're embarrassed about yesterday, confused about today, and worried about tomorrow, dig into this course. All you need is a pencil and a Bible and a desire for truth. And remember, the truth is free. So act now, write today, the address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. You can also sign up for the Bible study course on our website, www.unshackled.org.
Robert and I had lived together 3 years when a young woman spent several months with her aunt who lived next door to our house. Her father was a pastor in town, and she was very pro-God. We became friends, but I didn't find her very attractive. Well, the following spring, I saw her sing at a funeral and was astonished at how pretty she had become. She came to see me a week later, and we sat on the porch.
I felt like the Lord wanted me to come over and see you, Ray.
Well, I'm glad he did. You sing very well, Larissa.
So do you, Ray. I think we should glorify the Lord with our talents, don't you?
Well, I don't have any talents.
God gives gifts to everyone so we can bless others and glorify Him. You just aren't using your talents yet.
Well, Mom writes poetry and plays bass guitar, and Dad plays the banjo. I play the field.
Well, the field is wide until harvest, Ray, waiting to be picked. And God wants you to work, not to play.
Oh, you should be a missionary or something.
And you should sing in the choir. Oh, there's no one like Jesus. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely.
Think about it. Everything he ever did was so loving. Healing the sick, touching people no one else will go near, giving sight to the blind, forgiving those who are outcasts. No wonder multitudes flock to him, and still do. Oh, such love.
I guess you're right.
And then he hung on a cross for us, because there was no other way to pay for our sins except with his death.
Larissa went to church with me one Sunday, and the pastor asked for a show of hands of those who were saved. Well, I started to raise my hand as always when conviction flooded my heart. How can I say I'm his child and live this lifestyle? Suddenly, I accepted the truth of my sinful state and was consumed with repentance. All that I had learned with my head, God made it real in my heart that day in June 1986. I asked him to forgive me for my wickedness and to save my soul. He did. I went to the altar to make my decision public. I felt like the weight of the world had been lifted from me as we drove home.
I'm really happy for you, Ray. I've been praying for you.
So this is what it means to be born again. I love it.
Oh, everyone does.
No wonder. The Spirit of God comes to live inside of you. I'm not the same.
He's a wonderful, wonderful Savior, isn't he? To think that God himself would die in our place to seek and to save that which was lost.
It's funny how he used you. Your music, your quiet testimony to get through to me?
He knows exactly what each one of us needs. But then he should know. He created us.
All these years I've deceived myself by thinking I was saved, but I wasn't. Nothing happened in my heart or in my life.
Oh, you must guard your heart, Ray. God says, out of it are the issues of life.
Yeah, I can see that. It's time to make some changes in my life. When I got home, I told Robert that I was really saved now, and we could no longer have the same relationship. We continued to share the same house, though, which was a big mistake. The Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, "Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners." Larissa and I began dating, and I fell in love with her. I shared my past, hoping she would be my future wife. But one night, she told me of her love for another man. Once again, I was devastated by rejection and continued to pursue her.
Oh, what pretty flowers, Ray. Oh, you shouldn't have done this.
I want to make you happy, Larissa. You brought so much joy into my life.
Thank you for the flowers and the sentiment.
I also wrote this song for you. Will you listen to it?
Ray, I'm glad you're writing songs and poetry, but God gave you those talents to glorify him, not me.
I love you, Larissa. Life is so empty without you.
Ray, you must accept the fact that we're just friends.
Is it because of my past?
No, I told you. It's because I'm in love with someone else.
But you said I was everything you wanted him to be.
Ray, if you don't stop, we can't even be friends anymore.
I wish what happened next had never happened, but it did. I only hope my honesty will help someone else. Instead of turning to the Lord, I became bitter and blamed God for my failed romance. And Robert was right there to console me. I hated myself for turning my back on God, and in the spring I bought a house and moved out, but I was still miserable. One Sunday night, as I sat through the church service, I finally responded to the convictions and prayed. Lord, please forgive me. I don't know how I could have gone back to that same filth that you pulled me out of. Please give me the strength to resist and truly live for you. I'm so sorry for bringing shame to your name and to other Christians. I will live for you, Lord, and I won't ever turn back again. Hello?
Ray, how are you doing?
Oh, fine, Robert. How are you?
Say, you want to get together tonight?
No, Robert. I don't see any of my old friends. I told you that I'm through with my old lifestyle forever.
You really mean it this time?
Yes. I burned all my bridges. I've been reading the Bible a lot, something I should have done before. It's full of wonderful and amazing things.
Like what?
Remember how I used to say it didn't matter how you lived once you were saved? Well, it does matter to God. Nobody who knows the Lord can keep sinning habitually. It's evidence that you're not really saved. Read 1 John sometime.
Ray, how come every time you change, you think other people should change too?
Well, what you do is between you and God. You'll have to answer to Him for that. But as for me, I must serve the Lord from now on. I began to sense that God had a call on my life, some way He wanted me to serve Him. And I went forward in church to announce that I was answering that call, and God began changing me in multiple ways.
I'm sorry it didn't work out with Larissa Ray, but don't be discouraged. God has a perfect wife for you.
Do I have the word desperate tattooed on my forehead, Mom?
No. Why?
Because so many people at church say they're praying for a wife for me.
Well, you just have to trust God and wait patiently.
You know, my love for Larissa was almost like idolatry. I realize now that it was sinful for that reason.
Well, that's true. When you think you can't live without something or someone, it's idolatry.
But she helped me to see Jesus, and I'll never forget her for that.
Your dad and I are playing banjo and bass guitar in the service tonight. I hope you'll be there. There's a visiting missionary who's going to speak.
Mom, I wouldn't miss it. I can't get enough of the things Christ is teaching me. That visiting missionary became one of the first men in my life who was a true friend and brother in Christ. He taught me not only to play guitar, but he taught me how to give and receive fellowship with other men. Another was Calvin. We worked together at the airport, and he needed a place to stay during the week, so I invited him to stay with me. He commuted home to his wife on weekends. After the first week, I decided to tell him the truth about my past.
Some of the guys at work tried to warn me about you, but I told him you're a brother in Christ now, born again. What you used to be is irrelevant.
Thank you, Calvin. I was afraid you'd be offended, but I had to tell you the truth.
Hey, buddy, you opened your home to me when no one else did. You're a friend, and I love you, brother.
You have no idea how much that means to me, Calvin. God's been showing me how to love people, His way.
We all need love. Not the world's kind of love, but God's kind, the sacrificial, unconditional kind.
The kind that would hang on a cross to pay for someone else's sins.
Exactly.
I have a long way to go.
Keep reading the Bible, Ray. In John chapter 13, verse 35, Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one to another."
All those years, I chased the wrong kind of love and told myself it was okay, but it wasn't. Dad was right. It's sin.
The Bible is very clear about that.
Like I said, it all started because I never felt loved by my dad, and that's why I got so messed up.
Your father probably had an unhappy childhood himself and couldn't show love.
That's what my aunt said. It's a cycle that goes on and on, isn't it?
Until Jesus breaks the cycle.
It's broken now. I'm following the Lord from now on. I knew the Lord wanted me to tell my dad that I loved him, so I went by the house one night, and standing in the driveway, I gave him a big bear hug, and I said, "I love you, Dad." And his eyes were filled with tears as he replied, "I love you too, son." And that was the beginning of a new relationship.
You brought your guitar.
Yeah, I had the neatest experience with God last night, Dad. Ever since I got laid off at work, I've been staying up late to read the Bible. So I was still awake about 3 a.m., and I've been reading a poem that Mom wrote when I was still wayward. Here, this one.
Oh, yes, I remember this.
All of a sudden, the Lord gave me a melody for it, and I wanted to show it to you.
Yes, yes. Let me get my banjo.
You think we could practice together without Mom knowing and maybe play it for her on Mother's Day in church? That was the start of a family ministry. Dad, Mom, a friend, and I played in church, a nursing home, a retirement home, and in prison. By then, I had dated a number of girls and began to wonder if God would ever have anyone for me. But He did. I met Dawn in 1989. As soon as I knew she was the one, I also knew it was time to tell her about my past. So, that's the whole story. It's been more than 2 years now that I've been faithfully obeying God's word, the best 2 years of my life. I just wanted you to know the truth about me.
Oh, Ray, I already knew.
You did?
Someone told my father about you, and he set me down and explained all about your past. He told me I was old enough to make up my own mind, but to ask God for guidance.
And you did?
Well, I was pretty confused at first, but the Lord spoke to my heart. You are a new creature in Christ, and you're the one for me.
Oh, Dawn, praise God.
Well, I'm glad you shared it all with me, Ray.
I've learned to put everything in God's hands, and he always works things out for the best.
You really are a new creature, Ray.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When we married in July 1990, Dad was my best man. God has led us into a wonderful full-time ministry, singing and evangelizing wherever he opens the door. I tell everyone that no matter what the sin, Jesus is the cure. Only he has the power to change lives. I'm sharing my testimony through Unshackled because Jesus said in Luke chapter 8, verse 16, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light."
Ray's testimony reveals that with God, all things are possible. The Lord Jesus Christ can change any life from failure to rejoicing. Whatever the sin, Jesus will set you free. Would you like new life in Christ? Then pray with us right now. Lord, I want to know you as my Lord and Savior. I want your forgiveness for my sins. I believe Jesus died to set me free of Satan's power, and I believe he rose from the dead to give me eternal life through him. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make me like you. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus. Friend, welcome to the family of God. He will never leave or forsake you, and you can count on that. Please let us know so we can rejoice with you. Our address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-922-1462. Email can be sent to unshackled@pgm.org. This is program number 2520. Heard in part two of the true story of a man we call Ray LaRude, where Jack Bivens, Guy Burrill, Tom Geitch, Chuck McLennan, Joanne Silvestrak, and Lisa Keefe. Original music, Don Badorf, sound, Nick Aloisio, engineer, Ed Webb, script by Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. We'd like to know that you listen and enjoy these true testimonies, so please write today. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Don't struggle through a crisis alone. Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.